Oh, yes, ma'am.
Welcome, everyone. This is our real estate investors meetup today. And today we're talking with Bethany Bowers. And I've met Bethany somewhat recent. How long have we known each other now, Bethany? Not horribly long, but
A couple months, yeah.
yep, a couple months. Yep. Oh, Andora. Hello, Andora.
Hi, Dora.
Yep, I see Andora is there. Andora, you are welcome to come up. I'll click the promote to panelist. It's up to you if you want to come up or if you just want to chat with us. Oh, she's going to be rejoining so we can see her face as well. I want to introduce Bethany. What I have about Bethany is with over 19 years of hands-on experience in property management and real estate, Bethany Bowers is a seasoned professional known for her commitment to excellence in every transaction. Throughout her career, she has excelled in financial management, marketing strategy, and operational efficiency, earning a strong reputation for being both results-driven and relationship-focused. And I've only known Bethany for a couple of months, but she's all of those things. Yes.
Oh, thanks,
So
Kathy.
I can definitely attest to that. I want to welcome Andora and Michael and Sue and Tressa to the call today. So thank you for being on. And just jump in if you have a question, just raise your hand or somehow let me know in the chat that you'd like to have a question and answer with Bethany. So Bethany, for those who are new to the real estate investing, because we have a lot of newbies that listen to the call either live or come on later, those of us that are on the call today have all been in real estate for a minute, but a lot of folks are brand new. Explain what a title company actually does and how AmeriTitle fits into the funding and the closing process, because even though some of us have several closings under our belt, I don't know that we really realize how important the title company process is. So explain that to a newbie, to a novice.
Yes, of course. Well, title is arguably the most important part of the process. We're a neutral third party, and we ultimately ensure three things go smoothly in that process of a real estate transaction. Number one, most importantly, we are tasked with providing clear ownership in the title search process, which typically we're searching for liens, and really, a lot of other things we're going to discuss later, but those things that can come up that might not afford the buyer clear and free ownership of that title once they purchase the property. So title insurance, much unlike other insurance providers, we are unique in that we provide a policy that insures against what has happened in the past and what might also happen in the future. So we're providing basically clear and free ownership through issuing title, and we insure that through a homeowner's policy. During the process as well, we also manage the finances. So we have an escrow service and a dedicated escrow team that's going to be handling the distribution of funds back and forth through the buyers and sellers, earnest money, deposits, things like that, all through very secure transactions. And then we also oversee the closing process. So document preparation, providing a notary, and in most cases we can close, most title companies can close remotely, virtually, or in our offices. So those are probably the top three: neutral third party that provides the homeowner's policy for clear title, managing the finances through our escrow servicing team, and then providing the closing actual documents and notarization of those documents.
Wow, that's a lot. And again,
Yes.
we don't even realize that sometimes when we're, I mean, I remember the first house that I bought way back. I was in my late teens, early 20s. I was probably 19 when I bought my first place. And I didn't know what I didn't know. So everybody's just saying, sign here. And I just trusted that the process, I trusted the process. Because
Right.
I didn't know not to or what to do instead. And it was a huge, chunk of money that I was promising to pay back to a lender. But I knew enough to know that I had to do this. I just didn't know why. And so I remember the title process. being so comfortable. And I was so young, and I remember that the gal at the closing table was just so kind and so nice and took her time with me. And it just made a very big impression on me. And I just really appreciated the process. And she explained everything. And now and later, I've done enough now that oftentimes we don't get into the explanation point because they know I'm on like my 30th closing and they're like, okay, you got this. Just sign here, here, and here. You're good to go.
Right. Yeah.
So.
But you're a unique one. I mean, oftentimes we're seeing new folks at the closing table that have never gone through that process before. So it is, I think what sets title companies apart, and of course I'm biased, our team is some of the best. We have over 90 years experience combined with our senior escrow officers. What we're doing often is explaining why we need certain documents, why things are taking as long as they are. We're going into depth typically if there are lender requirements, if you're taking out a loan on the property, why we need those things. So we're explaining the why, and we're explaining it from a neutral third party perspective, so that everybody, feels comfortable with the process. And yes, the best closers are those that explain what you're signing and why you're signing it, and we take pride in that as well.
I love it. I love it. Now, for investors working with traditional lenders, hard money lenders, or even private lenders, how do you coordinate with those parties to ensure a smooth closing? Because I know a lot of times, well, in the past, it's all been about the traditional lenders. And so that relationship is kind of concrete. Everybody knows what everybody's expecting. And but what happens when you're working either with a hard money lender or maybe a private lender that's not really even been in the lending business for very long? What are your what is the struggles and how do you ensure a smooth closing with that in mind?
Yeah, hard money lenders, private lenders, and frankly, even typical lenders, they can be very nuanced in terms of their requirements. Hard money lenders especially will have very specific requirements that come to us in the form of endorsements. They want endorsements signed as part of the closing process, in which case there are additional searches, sometimes additional costs involved related to those searches. We see a lot of environmental requirements, especially on commercial properties, from those hard money lenders, especially if they're investment properties. And those endorsements typically always need approval from underwriting. So, again, biased, our group has several in-house underwriters and in-house counsels there and available to answer questions, not just for the lenders, but for those buyers and sellers as it relates to the endorsements that are required by that lender. So, the fast and easy process in that case is typically finding a title company and partnering with a title company that has in-house underwriters available to you on call all the time. But long and short, Kathy, and I hate to be rudimentary in my answer, but it's the truth. Communication is key. Oftentimes what we see once a deal goes into contract is sometimes the agents, buyers and sellers agents are hands off. And it falls primarily on not just the lenders, but our escrow team to explain and communicate with those buyers and sellers about what the process is and maybe why things are going a little bit slower. But I would say, to ensure a smooth closing process using private lenders or hard money lenders, it's communicating, over communicating. Don't assume that people know what's to be expected. So over and above communication is key in that process.
Well, what are some of the most common funding challenges that investors face? And what can be done ahead of time, other than the communication, of course?
Right. So, I would say some of the challenges we see ultimately is the endorsements might bring up certain things that will hold up the closing. So, pre-title is one of those, I should say, starting pre-title as a listing agent in the Columbus market, specifically buyers agents in other markets throughout Ohio, starting that pre-title process is key. Knowing that you're looking at buying, and even as an investor yourself, asking your agent to start pre-title is going to be something that really overcomes some of the pitfalls. But typically what we're seeing is unpaid taxes, liens, contractor bills, especially if the property was an investment property prior, claims from previous owners that they own the property. We're catching those. I guess errors in public records, boundary disputes, like I said, EPA surveys and requirements of those surveys. We're seeing a lot of hangups in that process. So really, I encourage everyone, it doesn't matter if it's an investor deal or otherwise, start pre-title as soon as possible if you're interested in buying a property.
I just heard a conversation the other day that there was a title company that said they don't do pre. What happens then if they don't do a pre-title search?
Choose a different title company. No, it's I'm not being facetious, I'm being serious. Pre-title is a service that title companies should offer. Yes, it comes with a cost, but not to you as the buyer or the seller. Pre-title is something that as a title company we take on the cost of searching those things, and oftentimes I'll have listing agents call me even in advance of taking a listing
Oh,
to start
wow.
pre-title. Yeah, just to make sure that, especially if it's a deal that's in a hot market that we would anticipate would close very quickly, which oftentimes these investment deals do, the pre-title process will often ensure that that closing can happen in a timely fashion. And it can ensure really the listing agent and the potential buyer to stay away from this deal. And there might be things that will prevent the deal from closing that the seller has to get in line even before they choose to list. So pre-title is a lost art. As I understand, there's a lot of companies that used to do it quite frequently, but because of the cost involved, oftentimes they'll say no because title companies will start pre-title and then not end up closing the deal. But that's the whole purpose of pre-title, is to make sure we understand all parties involved what they're walking into.
Well, and I would think once you start that whole pre-title process, and you're vested in the deal, I would think that the agents involved, the buyers, the sellers, the lenders, everybody that's, in that deal would understand that they're already halfway home if you've done a pre-title.
That's exactly right. Right. So
And
then when the
so
hard
if it's going to close, my guess is it's going to close with you.
That's right. That's the hope, but nonetheless, I mean, a bigger title company, much like Fidelity, Chicago Title, AmeriTitle, which is who I represent, we're backed by Fidelity, and in which case, the bigger title companies can and should afford to start that pre-title process. Because then once we get into the actual title search, and the earnest money goes down, especially with hard money lenders, there's additional searches and endorsements that are required. So we want to use that time in between contract and closing to focus on the underwriting approvals that need to happen for a lot of those hard money lenders and those private equity lenders that they typically require of title during that process. So there are time frame constraints, especially when it comes to hard money lenders, draw management, things like that we want to be focused on leading up to the closing, and not necessarily, finding things out that we should have found out weeks ago before we even went into contract.
Right, I get it. I get it. What differences do you see in the title process if they're going to use this investment as either a long term, a midterm, a short term, or they're just going to do a fix and flip? Does that change what you need to do on your end?
Sometimes, again, it depends on the lender requirements. What we see, a fix and flip is typically pretty identical to a residential title search. It's pretty straightforward. We don't run into issues typically on that front. A short-term investment, or short-term rental investment rather, normally hard money lenders or private equity lenders, they want to see a quick turnaround and a very quick closing. So again, pre-title helps with that. And then long-term rentals, there's really no difference. Before titles, there's typically, before title is issued, rather before closing even, there's typically a lot more stipulations from inspectors on the long-term rental front because of the tenant rights and things like that. So again, the tight time frames around investment properties, I can't stress enough, pre-title is the key.
Wow. Good to know. Okay, make a note of that, folks. If you're going to call your title company for a closing, ask if they do pre-title. Okay, so that's our first aha for this call, at least for me, because I've never asked that question. So good to know. Bethany, can you walk us through the title search process and share what red flags could delay or totally derail a fun to fund a deal?
Yeah, I would say one of the big ones, because surveys, especially with commercial deals, in some cases investment deals, it just depends on the type of investment. Boundary disputes or easements are a big one that we see. And those surveys are oftentimes required from the buyer, and should, you should be asking for boundary and easement surveys when you're investing in a property, especially in a more urban market. That typically lately has been what we've seen hold up the process. Liens, of course, again, pre-title, we're going to catch those, unpaid taxes, contractor bills, especially if it was a property that was an investment or fixed and flipped prior, making sure those bills are all paid and squared away. Because oftentimes, if those don't get paid, they need to be part of the negotiation in the contract, or otherwise, a deal can fall through. Claims for unknown heirs and previous owners is another one that I mentioned earlier, especially with the boomers who are buying and selling real estate these days, as held as previous investments. There's unfortunately we see a lot of fraud. Young folks, millennials, kids my age that are selling their parents' property on their parents' behalf, and they don't have the proper documentation to do so. We catch a lot of that in pre-title as well. It comes down to having a doctor's note to make sure that you have the right with your power of attorney to sell this property on behalf of your parent. So we're catching a lot of those things that can typically hold up a deal if that paperwork isn't in line. Going into contract, making
And
sure
it
we have the
doesn't mean
right
that they don't have the
signatures.
authority. It just means that maybe they don't have all their correct paperwork in place.
That's right. That's right. Yes, most definitely. And your agent should be advising you of that, but I'm here to tell you, we as a title company, being the neutral third party, always call the title company. Even if you have a relationship with one and you're not necessarily in contract or ready to list the property yet. Or even if there's a property you're interested in buying off market as a buyer, call the title company and ask them these questions. Are these documents in a row? I mean, our underwriters, our attorneys are constantly getting phone calls, and we welcome them to make sure that everybody is aware of what documents need to be prepared so that at closing the right people are signing the right documents.
Okay, who
Because
gets?
that will hold up the process. That's a very nuanced,
I
finite
can.
thing, but it snags us every so often.
And nothing is fast when you're trying to get paperwork put in place and filed, especially like to get a power of attorney filed so that this person can actually go forward with it. Who gets to choose the title company, the buyer or the seller?
Well, it depends on the market. And really, I always answer this question very open and honestly. It's negotiable.
Yes.
In Columbus specifically, the seller is typically paying for closing costs. That includes all of the title services and the homeowner's policy that's issued. So, in which case, typically the seller is choosing the title company. In Columbus, Ohio specifically, it's really determined by the market, if it's a seller's market or if it's a buyer's market. In Cleveland, where we transact a lot of investor deals, the buyer chooses the title company. The buyer's agent is typically writing the contract in any scenario. So if a buyer is really particular about what title company they use, as well they should be, because they're the ones that are going to have the policy issued in their name. They should be choosing, and we have a lot of agents, even in Columbus, especially on investment deals, that write in their own selected title company, despite the seller paying those costs. So it really is truly negotiable. If you feel strongly as a buyer, you should vocalize that and negotiate that as part of your stipulations in going into contract. But again, typically in Columbus, the seller and the seller's agent is choosing the title company. But you can always push back.
The reason I want to say this is a very important topic about who chooses is because if you're an investor and you're using hard money or private money, excuse me, and you have a title company like Bethany who understands what you're doing and she's doing the pre-title work and she knows how to get this across the, you know, the closing, past the closing date, a lot of times that seller is selling one property. But you, as a buyer, you might be buying over the course of a few years, 10 or 20 or more properties. And so you have this relationship with your title company. So you might play a little more hardball on using your title company as the buyer instead of just rolling over saying, well, the seller gets to pick that. I didn't have a choice. And so now we're in the soup and we're not getting across the finish line. Because this title company's maybe not worked often with hard money or private money or short-term rentals or wholesale deals or whatever it is. And so now the deal might even fall apart because the seller picked the title company. Now,
That's exactly.
that's just my opinion. I'll
No,
just toss that out there.
Yep.
What role does escrow play in funding? And how does your team handle the movement of money between buyers, sellers, lenders, private money, hard money, and especially those wholesale deals? How do you handle getting across the finish line when you have to do some funds in escrow?
Yeah, so we again, as the neutral third party, we were the secure holding in between the transactions. So there's quite a few different scenarios that can come up, but for the most part, in terms of the flow of money, you know, we set up the account, and funds, you know, on a conditional release basis, funds are only released to the seller after all of the conditions of the sale are met. So we're the checks and balances before the money transfers. Our escrow team, I love to say this, our escrow team, if they're not satisfied that everything's been satisfied on the seller's behalf and the buyer's behalf, the money is not exchanging hands. We also take initial deposit, earnest deposits, and we maintain that timeline very strictly. So that is something I feel like we're chasing people down for probably on a daily basis. And then once the loan is approved to the lender, transfers those loan funds into the escrow account. So we're making sure that the lender is transferring those securely. And then at closing, final disbursement. Again, once every condition is met, and the seller pays off any existing liens, anything that's required per the conditions of the contract, we're making sure all of those things happen before we finally close the deal. We also handle post-closing escrow. So many lenders require that buyers maintain an escrow account to cover ongoing expenses, whether it's paying taxes in advance, and settling, you know, where those taxes lie relative to the local municipality. We're making sure that that takes place as well. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. I have another question about 1031 exchanges, speaking of
Yes,
escrow.
of
Let's
course.
explain to our listeners what is a 1031 exchange. And
Sure.
then if a real estate investor is doing one of those, a 1031 exchange or a simultaneous close, what additional considerations do you as a title company, like AmeriTitle, what is it you need to manage with that? That seems like that could get confusing.
Yes, so 1031 exchanges have been a very hot topic lately, and they should always be, in my opinion, in the investment community, because it's a way for you to not pay capital gains tax, as you're basically trading up or trading real estate. So, if you go to sell a home, let's say you invested $500,000 eventually originally in it, and you're selling it for $1 million. That $500,000 gain is subject to tax, and in most cases in the investment community, folks are taking that gain to apply to a new investment, and typically that new investment has to be of like kind. So that's the 1031 statute is such that there are a lot of stipulations around how that needs to transact, who holds those funds during that transaction, and in which case AmeriTitle itself or any title company itself is not handling that transaction, we are going to encourage you to use a QI partner, which is a qualified intermediary partner. Luckily for Fidelity, we have a company within our family of companies, so AmeriTitle
Okay.
is always going to recommend that you use our QI partner. It's IPX. And they are the biggest, and they've been doing it the longest. They've been in business for over 40 years. And in which case, they are the ones that are handling the exchange of funds during that 1031 exchange process. So they also are much more well-versed in the nuances related to that 1031 regulatory body, and they are making sure that the funds, the gain that you stand to reinvest is being reinvested accordingly. So the timelines, I think, are the most important thing to know about 1031 exchanges. There is a timeline for which you have to reinvest that money, or you end up having to pay taxes on it. So without getting into a ton of detail, because there is a lot to know, there are a lot of hypothetical scenarios. It's a very nuanced scenario. Certainly, I can answer high-level questions about those deals, as can our in-house underwriters, just to give you proper guidance. But in most cases, we're referring you to a QI partner. Interestingly enough, the cost to use a QI partner as the intermediary in this 1031 exchange process is very, very inexpensive. Unless it's a bigger, more nuanced commercial deal, where there's a lot of other endorsements that are going to be required, they typically, at least our QI partner, only charges a flat rate of $1,000. So very inexpensive,
Wow.
worth,
I had no idea. I thought it was going to be so much more than that.
No, worth using a reputable QI company. And another cautionary tale about 1031 exchanges. Anybody, there are zero requirements to become and formulate a company that offers these QI services, but buyer beware. That's where we see a lot of fraud take place, is
Okay.
using kind of these onesie twosies, one-off kind of QI companies, because you don't have to have any kind of educational background, you don't have to have you don't have to be an attorney. You don't have to have any kind of licensing that's issued by the state or the federal government. You can truly just be a qualified intermediary in a 1031 exchange process. And that's where we see a lot of people lose a lot of money, because they're
Oh
sending their
my.
funds to who they think is a trusted QI in the 1031 exchange process, and people run away with their holdings. So definitely vet your 1031 exchange QI partner. I would always recommend that you ask your title company who they use, because
Yes.
oftentimes they have a secure partner that will handle that. In which case, again, then our escrow team isn't handling the exchange of funds in that process. We might be running title, and the title search, and we might be handling the closing process, but the QI partner is handling the funds and making sure that those gains are applied to a future investment in the timeframe for which the federal government has stipulated. So you don't have to pay those taxes.
Let's talk about like kind for just a moment. When we're
Of course.
talking like kind, is it just commercial to commercial, or does it have to be single family to single family, duplex to duplex, office building
And
to office building?
it's a
How
great question.
strict is that like kind?
It's a great question. It is the number one misconception, from my vantage point, in the 1031 exchange process. Like-kind is typically defined, or interpreted rather, as real estate to real estate. So you can't use those capital gains to go out and buy a private jet. Sorry, Kathy, but you can't
Darn.
necessarily use capital gains from your real estate holdings. Maybe it was a commercial property, maybe it was a short-term rental, single-family property. You can't go out and buy a plane or a train or a boat, but you can buy real estate. So maybe you're exchanging your duplex and you want to invest in a commercial property with those capital gains, from your original investment. That's totally fine. It's really like kind is real estate to real estate. It's not,
Okay.
single family to single family. And I think that's oftentimes the misconception, or at least the
Yes.
hesitation that we see from investors. So you're always welcome to talk to a QI partner for free. I recommend that too. And as an agent, especially if there's agents out there listening, as an agent, it is important that you have a QI partner that you can refer your clients to, especially as you're trying to encourage those that are sitting on a tremendous amount of equity and stand to basically have a big chunk of capital gains that they don't want to pay tax on. Just call a QI partner, call your title company, and have them put you in touch with a QI partner for your
Okay.
client, and we can walk you through that process and answer questions that are specific to that deal.
Wow, this is I've learned so much already, and I've been doing this for a while. This is amazing, Bethany. Thank you so much.
Of
How can
course.
an investor best prepare in advance to make the title and funding process go faster and smoother, especially if they're juggling multiple deals? Some of these investors have more than one deal going on. How does that work when they're working with a title company?
Yeah, so I would say, I guess initially, make sure you're working with a lender even before you
Okay.
engage a title company. So lenders first, always. It doesn't matter if it's your very first residential deal or if it's, multiple investment deals that you're looking to buy or sell. Pre-qualification and pre-approval is key. Creditworthiness and financial stability, those kinds of things. Understanding from the lender's perspective that will make sure your deal goes more smoothly. And then again, understanding what those lenders' nuances are relative to endorsements that the title company will then have to satisfy. So working with a lender first, getting pre-qualified and understanding what the lender requirements are is step one. Step two would probably be to start pre-title, and in which case, pre-title is going to help you understand what documents are needed to make sure your records are very organized. Pre-title, and in most cases, go hand in hand, at least from an agent's perspective, in my experience with a property inspection. I think inspecting the property in advance, especially if you're looking to sell, or at least if you are looking to buy, understanding that that property inspection is underway even before you go into contract, or if you have those results before you go into contract, that's ideal as a buyer. And then depending on the type of investment property you're looking to buy or sell, having those financial projections, either so you can position the property appropriately to sell or relative to lender requirements, having those financial projections is important when you're getting pre-qualified with a lender. And also, so that you understand what offers you want to make if you are in fact looking to buy an investment property, especially if it's new, a new type of investment to your portfolio, those financial projections are key. And as a little plug for me, I have 20 years in property management experience, a lot of underwriting experience in multifamily deals, and those financial projections I can certainly help you with as an individual, just free consulting advice, if you will, but also understanding how to position those properties if you are looking to rent them out short term or long term. So that's what I'd say. Get with your lender, then get with the title company, and have your documents prepared appropriately.
Good points. Very good points. Can you explain the importance of actually having the title insurance? How does the title insurance work? And why is it especially important for investors who plan to resell or refinance properties quickly? Why is it so more, how is it more important even for them? I mean, it's always important, but why is it even more important for them?
Yeah, so title insurance is a form of indemnity insurance. So it protects the lenders and the home buyers from financial loss that typically is
This call will be
sustained.
recorded.
That's typically sustained from defects in the title to the property. So it's again protecting you from what has happened and what could happen in the future. It is probably, I don't want to say every time, but probably the least expensive part of the closing cost overall. And especially if you're a cash investor, which we see a lot of times, which we will as a title company process a cash deal. But There's some people that opt out of the homeowners policy that's issued because they want to save in those costs, either as a seller or as a buyer, because it is a negotiating piece or a negotiable piece of the contract. It is probably the most important thing that you can obtain as a new owner of a property, because things come up. Again, an example, it's a really simple example, but let's say you're buying a property that was fixed and flipped, and then you're looking to lease it short term or long term as an investment property in the future, and the previous owner bought it and flipped it. You buy the property, you're issued a policy through the title company, and your free and clear title is issued to you at the time of closing. 6 months later, a contractor comes up and says, "Previous owner owes me this money." They attach the lien to your property because that money is unpaid. You
And
file a claim with your title.
that was the property they did the work on.
That's right. That was the property they did the work on for the previous owner that you bought the property from, and they can stake claim to that money being owed by you as the new property owner, in which case then you file a claim with your title insurance company. And they'll cover that. So, that's a really simple explanation, but that happens all the time, because these vendors, sometimes they're not reconciling their books until the end of the year, and the property already traded hands and they haven't track down that seller who now has sold the property to you, and you could be held accountable for that bill against and the lien they file against that property.
Yes, all important points. So, and again, after doing 30 deals myself, I have a few stories where there have been some attachments that did not get attached at the time of the closing, but they happened prior to me owning the property, but became attached to the property after I owned it. And so again, it's so helpful to have that title company
Yes.
and that title policy. So yes. So please buy your title insurance. If you could
Yes.
offer one piece of advice to a first-time investor about funding and title work and, working with a title company, what would your best advice be?
Well, I there's a lot of advice. I think on a personal note, definitely always reinvest your dividends and your capital gains, and go through a QI partner to reinvest those capital gains. Especially because what I've learned through the 1031 exchange process is that oftentimes, we see clients through generations hold on to investment properties or trade up or trade differently. But at the end of the day, if there's an inherited property that over the years you've reinvested these capital gains and finally bequeathed to your kin, it's a free and clear tax advantage to those kin. So if you're an investor, truly, 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 you should be looking at all of the opportunities available to you through the 1031 exchange process. And there's a lot of creative things our QI partner can do to make sure that you're, taking most advantage of that 1031 law. Separately though, working with a title company, again, I'm very biased. I see and I know my competitors well and keep my competitors close for this reason. But using a reputable title company, it's much like the QI partners I mentioned earlier. Just about anybody off the street can be a QI partner, so you have to beware of fraud. But on a broader scale, when you're talking about transacting, especially big money transactions, use a reputable title company, one that has been in the game for a long time, one that has, a large underwriting backing, and one, frankly, I mean, that does pre-title for you, and can help you in this process, because the title company is there to help prevent, future events from basically infringing on your investment. So using a reputable title company and what that means could mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. But the long and short of it is most anybody who is an attorney can start a title company, and oftentimes, they go out of business, and then who do you have leverage when they've issued a homeowner's policy? Who do you have to go to if they've shut their doors in 2 years from now and something pops up and you really don't have a homeowner's policy that's effective any longer. So there's also a lot of fraud that this process and oftentimes I hear clients say, wow, the two-step authentication and things like that some of these bigger title companies put you through, it's for your protection. Wire fraud, we see all just about every week, we see files that have something that pops up that could potentially be fraudulent. And so one of the things I always tell anyone, it doesn't matter if you're an investor or otherwise, if you're buying a property, before you wire money, no matter what the instructions say via email, no matter what the instructions say via text, and by the way, we would never text you wire instructions, make sure you're calling the receiving end of that that wire and verifying that these instructions are accurate. Because just as recently as last week, one of our buyer's agents, her email was hacked, and this hacker emulated an email from the title company to their client, the buyer, and the buyer wired money to the wrong person and lost $200,000. So just be wary of fraud and make sure you're using a reputable title company, in which case. I think that's probably the most important part. Definitely take advantage of capital gains and definitely use a reputable title company.
And confirm your wiring instructions.
That's right. It seems really simple, but if
I
it's the
know. It,
biggest transaction that you
no, and
touch
again, it's
financially every single year, you should be verifying.
and even if you are an investor, like I have 30 doors under my belt, but I don't do a deal every week or every month or even every year. And
Right.
so my last deal was like it happened to be the same number. It was a $200,000 deal. I bought a condo, and I received wiring instructions in a text message. Well, I had been communicating with my title person by text, so that didn't seem unusual to me. But just like Bethany said, I did confirm. I called the title, my person I was working with, and I said, I just received, she said, that was not me. And I was like, oh, thank goodness I didn't just click through on that, thinking, because I knew it was coming that day for me to wire the funds. Because I had borrowed the money against a different property, so I'm sitting on the cash. So I was simply going to wire the cash when the title company was ready for it, and it was the wrong wiring instructions. But I did call to
That's right.
confirm, and then she said, I'm going to send you an email. And she gave me, she, and again, we did this kind of like a two-part thing. She said, I'm going to text you a secret code, and she said, I want you to only answer the email that has that code in it.
There you go. Yep.
That way, if it was
There.
a wrong email, we would know it because only she and I knew the four-digit code that was supposed to be in that email. And
That's right.
so anyhow, I did wire it to the correct place. It did, the deal
Good.
did happen. Everything was good. But I was, and again, I'm seasoned and I was that close. So I can see where it could happen to someone that maybe hasn't done very many deals, or maybe this is their first one.
Right. Even it happens to the best of us. I mean, this buyer we had transacted for before, he knew our escrow officer. The hacker basically emulated an email from our escrow officer, and he followed the instructions and lost all of his money, and there's really no protecting against that. So that is the one step in the process. If it's your typically your biggest purchase of the year, call and call again. And if you're calling a title company to verify wire instructions and they don't answer, that's also a red flag. So someone's always there to answer. And they will find a unique and creative way to verify that it is us that you're sending the money to. And that's we see that all too often, unfortunately.
Yeah, the hackers have gotten a whole lot smarter than what we
They
are,
have.
because again, it's not our job to be hackers. So we're not staying on top of all the ways to do that, but the hackers are. So yeah,
Exactly.
you just have to do your due diligence. I want to open it up before we jump off today. We've got about 10 minutes left. I want to open it up to questions from anyone that is joining us live today. Feel free to simply unmute. You can see your little, I don't know if you're on your phone. I know we've got one caller on her phone, but on your computer, there should be a little audio microphone in your lower left corner of your computer screen where you can unmute. If you're on your phone, you might have to scroll to where your picture comes up so that you can see that audio video button there. And you can click on the audio button. So, do we have any questions for Bethany? Anyone at all? No questions.
Hey, this is Tressa. Can you hear me?
We can. Hi, Tressa. Welcome to the call today.
Hi.
Good to
Hi,
see you.
everybody.
Hey,
And
Tressa.
do you have a question for
Hi.
Bethany?
I do. So, Bethany, I'm one of the ones who recently learned about no pre-title.
Yeah.
So, my question is, you see a lot of agents already listing in their paperwork, in their listing, the title is to be with X title company. And now that we know that there's no pre-title, this is kind of more of a thing for people who are on the call. Now that we know that there's no pre-title at certain companies, you can write into your deal to use a different title company because we know they don't currently have anything invested because they don't do pre-title. So I just
That's
wanted to
a
kind
good
of
point.
reiterate on that. Yeah.
Really good point. Yeah, it is a
The
hundred
monthly
percent
stuff.
negotiable. Yeah, it is 100% negotiable what title companies use. And frankly, I'm not an agent. Tressa, I know you are, but really, the agents don't have the skin in the game. You know, they have a recommended title company, just like they might have a recommended lender for you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that title company will do pre-title for the buyer or the seller. And as an investor, those deals close a lot more quickly than some of our typical residential deals and even commercial deals. So, pre-title is key in the investment world and negotiate appropriately. I totally agree. Thanks for echoing that, Tressa. I appreciate it because yeah,
Yes, you're
it is
welcome.
typically listed, but it is 100% negotiable, and definitely a talking point. Should be a talking point before anything goes into contract.
Well, and also to add to that, if it's a new investor, sometimes they don't know that that's an area that can be negotiated. They just think, oh, this is the deal. I either have to take it or not take it if they're a new investor. So good to know. So make note of
Yes.
that, everyone listening.
Yep. The buyers and the sellers in these transactions, you guys are the customers. So you should be able to dictate which title company you want to use. And you should know based on your interactions with your real estate agent what constitutes a good title company. Or just call me, call somebody else who's an investor. We're a neutral third party, so we represent your interests and not the agents.
All great points. Any other comments or questions for Bethany? We have a quiet group today.
I know. Normally they're very chatty.
And again, we're at noon on a Monday, so
That's
everyone could
right.
be multitasking. It could be they're listening in while they're at their jobs. I try to do the call at noon on purpose in hopes of catching them maybe on their lunch hour. And so we try to keep it, just inside the hour for that reason.
Course.
Any other comments or aha moments? Again, my big aha moment, I think, was the pre-title. Adrian says, can you send me a link to the website? Are you meaning Bethany's website, Adrian? Is that what you mean? I'm not sure if that's what he means. But Bethany, if you could put into the chat for everyone how folks can connect with you.
Yes. I'll give you my email address and phone number. That might be the easiest way.
Okay. Yes.
Because then I can direct everyone appropriately.
Yes. Adrian, Bethany is going to put that in the chat to everyone. So there you go. Feel free to, and make sure it says to everyone, Bethany. I think that just says to
Oh,
who
host
you
and
know.
panel. Yep. Okay. There we go. I'll redo it here.
And so, Adrian, be sure and capture that. Now, when I upload the replay into kathybinner.com, I will include Bethany's contact information.
Thank you, Kathy.
So that way it will be in the replay itself. And that way anybody that didn't catch it today, and I'm going to jot down, I have your phone number, but I'm going to jot it down. All right. 614-453-6693. And for those that are listening, it is bethany.bowers@amerittitle.net. So bethany.bowers@amerittitle.net. All right. Any other comments or aha moments before we go? This has been a great call, Bethany. Yeah. Adrian, did you have a question? I see he's unmuted. Any other questions, comments before we go? Bethany, I want to thank you for being on. This has been very informative. I will send you a copy of this video interview as well. Please feel free to use it however you wish in any of your marketing, if that works for you.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to say thank you to Andorra, Michael, Sue, Mindy, Adrian, Tammy, and Tressa. Thank you all for being on with us today. And we will see everyone next time.
Thank
you. Bye,
everyone.
Everyone.
Thanks, Kathy. Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.